Well, good morning. Those that are in the lobby, if you begin making your way in, such a great day, a beautiful day, Mother's Day. Beautiful ladies here today. It's good to be in the house of God each and every Sunday. Kind of stall in a second so people can come in those doors just a little bit. Awesome. Awesome. Well, I am excited about what God is doing and things that are going on in Eagles Way Church and Griffin Spalding County. There's a lot of great things happening. I'll have to fill you in on a few other things that's taking place within the community about Charity Tracker and some ways that your alms money are being used to help people in our community, and it's exciting. But today we have the opportunity, I'm going to ask you to just go ahead and stand, a choice to make. Your choice is very simple. Do you want to enter into the presence of God, or do you want to stand outside and watch? It's that simple. And I encourage you to make a decision. So let's enter into worship. Let's enter into His presence. Let's receive everything that He has for us this day. Father, Lord, we thank You that we can come to Your house. Lord, that we can worship You. We can give You praise. That, Lord, You can give back to us and fill us and instill inside of us. And I thank You for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's worship.
My prayer over the past several days has been less of me and more of him. So Dad shared last Sunday, and he talked about the scripture in Revelation that every time the angels bow down and they come up and they say, all they can say is holy, 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 because they get this new revelation of who he is. They get more and more of him. So they go and bow down again, and they come back up again, and they're like, God. And you know, I've been in church my whole entire life. That's almost 42 years, which is crazy. And I've never gotten to a point to where God just revealed this much of himself to me and stopped there. I love how good he is. And he's not going to conceal himself, but it's his nature to reveal more and more. And it gets better and better and better who he is. It gets bigger. It's amazing. And I'm so thankful that he's so good that when we say, God, I want more of you, he shows us more of who he is. Isn't that good?
Come with expectation, waiting here. That's an awesome song. I love it. Just to be here worshiping our Father. We're going to sing a new song that a couple weeks ago, David, he sent it to me. And it's called "We're No Longer Slaves to Fear. I Am a Child of God." It's one of the most powerful songs that we've sang in a while. And it's really been weighing on my heart the past couple weeks, the lyrics, that I'm no longer a slave to fear. My son has been asking me a lot lately, where are the bad guys, Dad? And always telling them, put away. They're not around us. They're in jail. You know, whatever answer it may be that comes to him to try to comfort him a little bit. And I thought about me saying that and how do I really believe that? Am I fearful when I walk out? And the answer that I came to is I am a little bit. And that I'm just comforting my son. And I thought about, you know what? I am a child of God. I no longer have to fear that fear. And it was just new revelation to me. And that was 2 weeks ago, and I'm still battling it today. Still battling it last night. I woke up in the middle of the night and thought I heard something. And, you know, my thoughts are, I want to protect my family. What, you know, what is that? What is that? And this song came to me. And it was like God told me, don't be fearful, son. I've got your back. And whatever fear it is in your heart that may be bothering you, this song is a song of freedom. It's a song of letting it go. Because God is there for us through it all. And when you say things to your son or whatever it may be, believe it in your heart. Believe it in your heart. There are no bad guys. I serve a God who's powerful and mighty and loves us dearly. And I just pray that that is your prayer today, God. We thank you. Thank you, Father, that we no longer have to fear. We're a child of God. Your love is so overwhelming and so powerful. In this song, it says that you split the sea so I can walk right through it. God, we believe that today. We thank you that you do that for us, God. We love you. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. So today's Mother's Day, and this church is unbelievably blessed with mothers. I know I've been in other churches, and I've been interacting with other churches, and this church is just filled with mothers that care and love and don't judge you. I have, ever since today I came in this door, I've felt welcomed, and it's an unbelievable feeling to have that. I just wanted to point out a few people. Kitty is my stepmother, and you know, some people are blessed with more than one mother. I am. That's the way I look at it. I'm blessed. One of the reasons I'm up here singing is because of Kitty. She encouraged me to do it, and look where that got. Miss Barbara, you're an unbelievable rock to this church. When I look at you, I see a mother in you to me that is far beyond what you can imagine. And I could say that about everybody. Mimi, man, I don't even know where to go with you because you are so special to me. So special. And you're not just special to me, special to all your grandchildren. You're special to this church. Everyone here looks at you as a mother figure, and we love you dearly, and that goes for everyone here. Miss Penny, everybody, Dusty, the worship leaders. I say this for the congregation. We love y'all so much. To my wife, we are just so thankful for what y'all put into us, you put into our children, and you put into this church. Thank you so much.
My life
for your mercy, for your grace, God, that chases after us, that follows us, God. Thank you, Lord, that you are everything we need. And everything we need is within us, God, because your very breath, your very being resides within our souls, within our spirits, God. That, Lord, whatever we need, whether it's wisdom or understanding or patience or goodness or mercy, whatever we need to be to someone else, to be to those around us, God, all we have to do is to get quiet and to hear your breath within us and let it pour out of us. Let it pour out of us, God. I'm so thankful, God. So thankful for your goodness, so thankful for who you are, for how great you are. We worship you. We thank you, God. We love you, Lord. Amen.
Happy Mother's Day. Well, I just couldn't do nothing but thank God for mothers. As Brandon was talking, it was so powerful. And to think that we are a child of God. I want to set this talk up before I get started. One of my favorite scriptures is out of Isaiah, I think it's chapter 52, and it says, he was speaking to Israel and is going to give Israel kind of a historical pat on the back and tell them how much Israel means to him and how much they mean, he means to them and how much they mean to him. And he says, look unto the rock from which you were hewn, and look unto your mother who gave you birth. Look unto your father from which you were hewn, and look unto your mother from which you were birthed. You know, that's one thing I don't think that no man can understand. I don't believe there's a man that can possibly relate to and understand giving birth, to actually carry a child and to give birth to that child has got to be some more fulfilling, overwhelming feeling. I like when Jesus said that when a woman is given birth and all the pain that's there, but once the child comes, all she doesn't remember the pain. She just remembers the birth. I'll turn to Genesis chapter 3. And I learned something years ago that I transitioned from in my study habits. And sometimes I veer from it, sometimes I forget about it, but most of the time I try to stay connected emotionally with the passage. I want to connect not just with theologically what it's saying, but I want to connect emotionally with what it's saying. You and I are created in God's likeness and in God's image. And the Bible says, and God created them male and female. And God took Adam and he put him to sleep and he took a rib. And the Bible says he created a woman. And it's been said by history and over again, you know, women are all emotional and men are just all something else. But the fact of the matter is, every single one of us are created male and female. Your spirit is your male part and your soul is your female part. And that's the reason sometimes there can be some transgender mix-ups and some people can get a little bit confused with who they are because of this emotional makeup that we really are, that God created us both male and female so that we could understand each other. And when God took Eve out of Adam, he said, I'm going to make you a helpmeet for you. A helpmeet is the same word that he used in John when he was talking about the Holy Spirit that's going to come. And he called him the paraclete, which is the one called alongside to help. And it's the same word that God used in Genesis when he says, when God gave Adam Eve, he gave him a paraclete. He gave him a helpmeet. He gave him someone to come alongside of him and help. And that's why she was not taken out of his head to dominate, nor from under his feet to be trampled upon by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, and near his heart to be loved by him. And I'm thankful to God that we live in a country where women are placed in a much more higher prominent place than most of the world. You just really don't know how prominent a place that women are in the United States until you visit some other countries and see how women are treated. And that here we understand the playing field should be equal. The playing field should be the same. And so in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 14, it says, "The Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all animals, domestic and wild. You will crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust as long as you live. And I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel.'" God made a promise to Eve that her seed one day would crush the seed that caused the damage. That God would get vengeance one day. God would overcome something one day that only he could do. And that from the seed of the woman that, you know, and you have to understand something. Adam and Eve are both at the tree. Adam and Eve are both at the tree. Eve just decides Eve takes it because Eve represented the soul of man. And so the soul of man was looking at the tree, longing after the tree, something going on inside, and she reaches and she takes a forbidden fruit. She eats it and she gives to her husband, and he just ate it too. No real temptation for him. He just went along with it. But something that I want you to see, what I want you to see in this passage of Scripture, when I started preparing this, I went a whole nother direction, and all of a sudden I veered off. And what I'm going to share with you this morning is the most different Mother's Day message I have ever shared in my life. I actually canned this thing 3 times this week and said I'm not preaching it. And every time I did, I could not get away from this. And so Paul said in Romans 16 and 30, he said that soon he would crush the serpent's head. Soon he would crush him under your feet. And so Eve represents the Bible says that Eve is the mother of all living. You think about that. You know, Eve gets a bad rap sometimes, but if you really study Scripture, it says she is the mother of all the living. And so she's promised something, that a seed's going to come from her that's going to crush this serpent that caused all these problems. And so in Genesis 4, it says, Adam had sexual relations with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant. And when she gave birth to Cain, she said, "With the Lord's help, I have produced a man." And later she gave birth to his brother and named him Abel. Before we go any further with that, I want you... Eve is thinking with all of her being that this son that she just gave birth to actually came directly from the Lord. This translation says, "With the Lord's help, I have produced a man." Well, really, that's not a really good translation. What she's really saying is, "The Lord has given me a man." What she's really saying, that he has given me the man child that's going to crush the serpent's head. Wow. In Matthew, a prophecy spoken about Christ coming, and a lot is said about him. And Mary is there. And the prophet looks at Mary and says these words, "A sword is going to pierce your heart." You know, I don't know of anyone who carries, I believe, the weight, I believe the burden, I believe the promise, I believe sometimes the vision, I believe the hope. I don't believe there's anyone who carries all of that throughout history and throughout families more than a woman. There's something inside her that believes that it can happen. Something about her that believes, Brandon, you can get up here and sing. Something about her that believes that you can really accomplish what you set out to accomplish. Something about her that really believes that the best for you and the best is going to happen to you and the best is going to be in you. And here at Eve, and one thing I asked the Lord years ago, you know, I don't want to read scripture and just get a theological understanding of it. I love Genesis. I love that it's a seedbed. But, you know, these are real people. This is not just a story. This is a real story. This is really happening. And so Eve gives birth to Cain, and then she gives birth to Abel, and she's thinking inside of her, wow, now victory has come to our family. Now victory has come to what has happened in the garden. What the promise, God gave me a promise that the seed was going to crush his head. I was going to be an overcomer. We're going to conquer him. And this story unfolds to the most unbelievable thing that you could have ever imagined happening to a family. And I want you to just pause for a moment and think. I want you not to see Eve as some mystical being. I want you to see this woman as Penny Doss, as Linda Hardwick, as Dusty or Kitty. I want you to see, here is a real woman who's given birth to two sons, and she believes all is well and all is going to be better than it's ever been. And redemption and restoration and reconciliation and everything that needs to happen to overcome this terrible thing that transpired, that put us out of the garden, that put us out of our security, that put us out of what a paradise, that all of this is now going to be restored and everything's going to be reconciled and all is going to be well. And somewhere along the way, Adam and Eve had to tell Cain and Abel about this loving God who clothed them, who protected them, who actually gave a lot of consequences and then almost at the same time says, you know what, I'm just going to cover them anyway. I'm going to cover them. And so they probably tell Cain and Abel along the way, you know, this is such a loving God. You need to bring offerings to him. You need to bring sacrifices to him. And Abel, he was a livestock God, and so he brings this livestock to God. He finds the best lamb that he has, and he brings it for an offering, for a sacrifice to God. And Cain, he's a farmer, so he goes out into his garden. He gathers up all of this fruit and vegetables, and he brings it as an offering to God. And they're both doing what I believe they really thought they ought to be doing. And God says to Abel, he accepts his offering. And he says to Cain, but I don't accept yours. Now we can make all kind of theological suggestions about that. We can make all kind of theological parallels with that. But I don't want to go there. I want to get real. I want to get into Eve's skin and into Cain's skin and into their life, really what's happening, what's going on. You know, there's not anything probably worse in siblings than to see one really elevated and one put down. You know, it can cause some really serious issues. Do you know that? It can cause some real serious issues when children are treated differently and maybe one's getting all these accolades and this other one's not getting all these accolades. And God said to Abel, the Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. And God says to Cain, why are you angry? The Lord asked Cain, why do you look so dejected? When you answer this question, every one of us, when we answer the two of the most, you know, I found out there's something in life that you need. You got to ask the right questions. You got to give the right answers. People are asking the wrong questions. The question is, why are you angry, Cain, and why are you dejected? And listen to what God says to Cain. You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and master it. Every single one of us here has the opportunity every day of our life to accept it, to accept what God wants to do in us and through us and for us. And when we accept that, we can know that we'll overcome. Let me tell you something. Overcoming temptation is way easier than restoration from the consequences of yielding. I'll say that again. Overcoming temptation is far easier than overcoming the consequences which may happen and come to us. Cain was battling jealousy, envy, strife, anger was boiling in him, and God was saying, don't be that way, Cain. You can face this thing right now. Why are you angry and why are you dejected? If you answer that question, you're on your way to be an overcomer. If you will accept your responsibility for your being, God says, I don't care about your past defeats. I don't care about anything that's happened in the past. If you'll just be honest with me and be truthful with me, all will be well. Aren't you glad you serve a God like that? A God who says to Cain, I don't accept your sacrifice, but I'm going to forget about this thing. I'm going to forget about this past. If you'll just do what is right, I will accept you and your sacrifices. And so one day Cain suggested to his brother, let's go out into the fields. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother and killed him. Afterward, the Lord asked Cain, where is your brother? Now, where we go from here is just a story about God and his dealings with Cain before it changes over into some other begots that we'll get to in a moment. But I want you to picture Eve for a moment. Eve's not talked about here. I don't know who came and told her, but somebody had to come to Eve. Maybe it was Adam. Probably was. Had to walk up to his wife and say, the child, the son that you thought was the seed that would crush the serpent's head has killed his brother. Wow. You're talking about disappointment. You're talking about heartache. I don't know. I don't believe there's anybody. I know there's not anybody here who can relate to that kind of disappointment. I don't believe anybody here can relate to that kind of heartache that your son, your husband comes to you and says to you, our boy has killed his brother. And the story unveils and says, God came to Cain and says, where is your brother? Abel, and he said, I don't know. Cain responded, am I my brother's keeper, my brother's guardian? But the Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are cursed and banished from the ground, which has swallowed your brother's blood. No longer will the ground yield good crops for you, no matter how hard you work. From now on, you'll be a homeless wanderer in the earth. And Cain replied to the Lord, my punishment is too great for me to bear. You have punished me. You've banished me from the land and from your presence. You have made me a homeless wanderer. Anyone who finds me will kill me. But the Lord replied, no, for I will give a sevenfold punishment to anyone who kills you. Then the Lord put a mark on Cain to warn anyone who might try to kill him. So the Lord left, Cain left the Lord's presence and settled in the land of Nod. What I want you to see is in this horrible thing in which today all murder, all bloodshed, all war, what's happening in the Middle East, what's happening in Afghanistan, what's happening in all the different places of the world. Don't go blaming it on this, that, or another. It goes all the way back to right here. It's all the way back to where murder happened and started in the first place. This is why all the problems we have in the world today, all the bloodshed, all the killing, all the everything that's bad out there comes from this one moment that somebody didn't deal with their heart. If somebody didn't answer the question, why am I sad? Why am I so dejected? Why is this happening to me? And then, thank God, chapter 5 comes in. And this is written on the account of the descendants of Adam. God created human beings. He made them to be like himself. He created them male and female, and he blessed them and called them human. When Adam was 130 years old, he became the father of a son who was just like him in his very image, and he named him Seth. Seth means the appointed one. Eve took her disappointment, and she had an appointment with God. And if you will always take your disappointments and make appointments with God, he will take your disappointments in that appointment and will deal with everything that happened in that disappointment and bring that disappointment to an appointed time, a time of victory and a time of hope and a time that you can have peace and a time that you can have joy. He'll bring it all around to good. Aren't you glad we serve a God like that? Now I'm going to bore you for a moment, but after I bore you, I'm going to bless your socks off, okay? So I'm going to bore you for a moment. After Seth, the birth of Seth, Adam lived another 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters, and Adam lived 930 years, and then he died. When Seth was 105 years old, he became the father of Enosh. And after the birth of Enosh, Seth lived another 807 years, and he had other sons and daughters, and Seth lived 912 years, then he died. Ain't this good? When Enosh was 90 years old, he became the father of Kenan. And after the birth of Kenan, Enosh lived another 815 years. He had other sons and daughters, and Enosh lived 905 years, and then he died. This is good stuff. When Kenan was 70 years old, he became the father of Mahalalel. And after the birth of Mahalalel, Kenan lived another 840 years, and he had other sons and daughters. And Kenan lived 910 years, and then he died. This is cool. 910 years. When Mahalalel was 65 years old, he became the father of Jared. Isn't that interesting? And after the birth of Jared, Mahalalel lived another 830 years, and he had other sons and daughters, and Mahalalel lived 895 years, and then he died. Everybody dies, you know that? When Enoch was 65 years old, he became the father of Methuselah. And after the birth of Methuselah, Enoch lived in close fellowship with God for another 300 years. And he had other sons and daughters. And Enoch lived in 365 years. And when Methuselah was 187 years old, he became the father of Lamech. And after the birth of Lamech, Methuselah lived another 782 years. And he had other sons and daughters. Methuselah, which is the oldest person we know that ever lived 969 years. And then he died. Is this boring you yet? This pretty cool stuff, isn't it? That's a long time to live. When Lamech was 182 years old, he became the father of a son. And Lamech named his son Noah. And he said, "May he bring us relief from our work and our painful labor of farming the ground that the Lord has cursed." Wow. Eight particular sons. I'm glad that some people don't just read scripture and just like I did and kind of just go through it and get bored. But we'll take, why did he put this in here? Why did he put all these specific, these eight specific and specific individuals. He started with Seth and he ended with Noah. Seth meant appointed. Enosh meant mortal. Kenan meant sorrow. Mahaliel meant the blessed God. Jared means came down. Enoch means teaching. Methuselah means his death shall bring. Lamech means strength. And Noah means comfort. When you put all that together, you got God has appointed that mortal man shall sorrow, but the blessed God came down teaching that his death shall bring both strength and comfort. That everything that the enemy meant for harm, God said, I'm going to work all this out for good, and that I'm going to come down, I'm going to take the place, I'm going to die, and in my death there's going to come strength and comfort and power to everybody who lives on the face of the earth. And when you read Matthew, boy, I won't dare bore you with that one. But he starts out with, Abraham begot Isaac and Isaac, Jacob, and on 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 until Jesus Christ was born. And he says that from the time of Abraham to David was 14 generations, and the time of David to Babylonian captivity was 14 generations, and the time of Babylonian captivity to Christ was 14 generations. And you read all that, and wow. But when you look and you count, all you got to do is go to Matthew chapter 1. Get even be coming. Go to Matthew chapter 1, and you can count from Abraham to David with 14 generations. From David to Babylonian captivity was 14 generations. And from Babylonian captivity to Jesus Christ was 14 generations. But when you count them, there was 13. And I've counted them over and over and over and over again. And every time I do, it's 14 generations from Abraham to David, 14 generations from David to Babylonian captivity, but there's only 13 generations. But he says it's 14 generations, so where is that missing 14th generation? Just stand up, because you are. We are the last generation that would ever need to be given birth to. Now look unto Abraham, from which you were hewn, and look into the church from which you were birthed. Because the greatest woman on the planet earth is the woman called the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ, who has given birth to all these sons and daughters in the world. That the Bible says that one day will have dominion over everything that is on this planet, and will the glory of the Lord will cover the land as the waters cover the sea. Hallelujah. Every disappointment, every pain, every heartache that's ever transpired, there's hope and there's strength. And Brandon, I want you guys to be coming. And I want you to stand with me before we see our offering today. I want you to sing that song, I Am a Child of God. And I want you to realize something. That we all was born once, but now we've been born again. And because of that new birth, we've come to be the child hewn from the rock and from the woman who gave us birth. I don't have a rose for you this morning. Sorry. Tried, just couldn't pull it off this year. So my gift to you today is to tell you, you don't need a rose because you are the rose of Sharon. You are the rose. We're here today because of generations and generations and generations and generations and generations of women who have given birth to generations and generations and generations of people. To finally, God honored woman so much that he said, I'm going to call every man, I'm going to call every boy, and every woman, and every girl, my bride. And so we have to suck it up, guys. It didn't come from us. It didn't come from us. It didn't come from us. came from her. It came from her. Wow. Just think about that for a moment. Sing it.
I'm no longer
I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
Sacrament of healing this morning. I want you to stand right where you are and where you can be coming to receive the tithes and offerings today. But this is how I want this healing process to happen today. And you have a need in your life, in spirit, soul, or body, or whatever it may be. I want you to say these words. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. And because of that, I have all the privileges to all the covenants and all the promises that He's given, because I am a child of God.
Seated. You may be seated. If you have your connection card, make sure you pull that out. Our ushers are going to be receiving our morning's tithes and offerings and alms. If you're a member of the church or a visitor at the church, we'd love for you to fill that out. It's a way that you can communicate with us, whether it's a prayer request or a volunteer for something that is taking place. So make sure you get those in. Announced last week, if you weren't here last week, the new Eagles Way app is available to download. Go to your app store, whether it's iTunes or the Google Play or whatever, wherever you get your apps, and type in Eagles Way Church, and it should come up. Download that. From there, you can do all kinds of stuff. I've had great reports of people saying, hey, this is something I can actually use. I'm using it every day. Whether you want to read an encouraging blog or listen to the message or view the message, a past message, you know, CDs and DVDs are not obsolete, but they're getting there. Okay, so use your smartphone. You can, if you want to at home, you might even learn how to AirPlay it to your TV. I know I'm using big words for some of y'all. Okay, but it can happen. It can happen. It's good stuff. From that app, you can give. A lot of people are choosing to do it that way. Very simple, very easy. You can text Eagles Way Church to 77977, and it will actually send you a link to where you can go and give that way if you want to. If you still choose to use an envelope, we have those in the back of the sanctuary or out in the front. If you want to put cash in that or mark it, you can do it that way, or a check, however you choose to do it. Thank you for your faithfulness here at Eagles Way. You're a blessing to the house of God. There are over 300 chicken queue tickets that are out. That means they have been dispersed and people are selling them. If you have tickets you're selling, raise your hand real quick. So you need to see one of these people and buy a chicken queue ticket from them. On June 4th, we'll be having our annual yard sale and chicken queue. So you want to, we'll be telling you more about what to bring and when to bring those things. God, Lord, we thank you that we can come to your house. Lord, that we can worship you, that we can be encouraged and receive blessings. Lord, we thank you today especially for our mothers. Bless them in a powerful way. Lord, we ask that you take the tithes and the offerings and the alms, Lord, and bless it to the furtherment of your kingdom and lives being touched in this community, in this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed. Go and have a great day. God bless you.